Okay, we're back. All right.
Back.
He's not afraid of love. He's repulsed by it. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
It's the best introduction I've ever had. Now I'd like to introduce this man. Thank you very much, Mr. Gay Without the Gay, for helping me be gay without being gay. It's Jomo Arigato.
Ooh, Shima-san. Ooh.
Want Chad to blow your dick?
All right. Now, that's a serious question. You want Chad to blow? I could get Chad to blow your dick, Mr. Rob Fortune, if you want.
I don't know who that is, but it sounds terrible.
It's very teethy. It's very good. You get the rake.
Oh, chow. Okay. Yeah. No, thanks.
Lely chow. Okay. All right. He yells, "Don't stop believing," as he jerks off to gay porn. It's Mr. Jack Falcon.
Hello, how's everyone doing?
Good. How's that gay porn session from last night?
The what?
How was the gay porn session from last night?
Oh, it was good. It was good. It was good. Hmm. Yeah, I had to renew my gay Brazzers account. So,
was it called Gazzers or Gazers?
Oh, it's just Brazzers, but just like the gay section. That's all.
Hmm. That's the worst segue you've ever fucking had.
I don't think it's the worst, no. Anyway, Jomo and I will be splitting a Brazzers account soon. So, what's up, everyone? How's everyone doing?
Doing good.
You know, fantastic. Doing great. Listen to some old school hits.
Yeah.
And then, there's one or two albums that ear raped me, but there's...
I know what one of them is.
Yeah, let's get into it now. So basically what I did, I picked four bands that they all have at least one big hit. I like all of the four hits in question. So these aren't bands that I know super well. I don't know. Yeah, but I just wanted to dive in. Like, these are bands with like annoying 80s like production. So is there anything redeemable about these bands or are they awful? I wanted to find out. So that's the dive. So we got Oingo Boingo, Journey, Toto, and Styx. We do. I think it's all greatest hits, all four of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. We ready to spin the wheel?
Spin the wheel.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by MeatSpin.com. If you spin it and then you win on the 500th try, Jackson comes to your house and fucks you up your ass.
All right. It's Oingo Boingo.
Oh shit.
Jomo's favorite of the week. Let me drop the artwork in here. So all this information comes from Wikipedia. So if it's wrong here, it's wrong there. And that's the source. All right, so Oingo Boingo. I asked Jomo this week if there's a whiter band on planet Earth than Oingo Boingo.
Not at all. There is.
Right, but I don't mean like privilege wise. I mean just like being white. Like being as white as possible.
Like annoying? Is that you mean by white annoying?
Well, it's not like annoying, but it's like weird. Like, I don't know. Like Oingo Boingo. All right, ready? So their greatest hits is called The Best O Boingo. It's a 17-track record released in 1991, coming just under 77 minutes long. It's the band's second greatest hits album and contains hits from 1984's Solo, 1985's Dead Man's Party, 1987's Boingo, 1988's Boingo Alive, and 1990's Dark at the End of the Tunnel. 1988's Boingo Alive is a double album performed and recorded live in a rehearsal studio with no audience. It was recorded on a soundstage over 9 nights in July 1988. The band performed songs from previous albums as well as two previously unreleased songs, Cinderella Undercover and Winning Side, to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the band. Ads for the record said, "Here are greatest hits as they were meant to be heard live." After Oingo Boingo migrated from A&M Records to MCA Records in 1984, A&M had retained ownership of the band's previous recordings, but by 1988, they became legally able to re-record their old material. Frontman Danny Elfman said that Boingo Alive was a project the band had been planning for years, as they had been unhappy with the sound of their studio recordings, particularly with regards to the lack of energy. On the choice of not having an audience, Elfman said, "I hate the poor fidelity and the crowd noise from live albums. It made more sense this way. It's just us playing in a big room with a mobile truck outside, minus the 10,000 screaming teenagers." In 1994, the band consolidated their new musical style and shortened their name to Boingo. Guitarist Warren Fitzgerald joined, while keyboardist Carl Graves and the horn trio were removed. This marked the only year that the band toured without the horn section. So at the largest, this group was like 8 people. In 1995, it was announced that Boingo would be disbanding after 17 years. They embarked on a farewell tour, restoring the original horn trio and reverting its name to Oingo Boingo, ending with a final Halloween performance at the Universal Amphitheater. The other albums they had: Only a Lad in 1981, Nothing to Fear in 1982, Good for Your Soul in 1983, and Boingo in 1994, in addition to the ones that are on this album. Rob, what do you think of Best of Boingo?
Okay, so the reason I picked this one, so I don't know how much I've talked about this, but I used to like love classical music, specifically the dark sounding stuff. I mean, maybe it started with like the Neurosis songs that had like string sections, cellos, but also like the Dimmu Borgir album that came out in 2001. Like there were songs on that album that had that were just straight up classical music. And so I really liked that sound, and that I at the time I was, when I was 15, I was like, I was all black metal and I was also all classical, and I'd go back and forth between the two. And definitely my favorite was Danny Elfman. It's hard for me to pick what my favorite one was, but let's say like the Batman soundtrack, like Batman Returns and all that. Fucking classic Batman theme, Beetlejuice. So if you didn't know, this dude, Danny Elfman, he did like every Tim Burton movie. I don't know if it's every one to present, but in between 88's like Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse or whatever that movie was called, up to like Big Fish, and probably even more after that, like Sweeney Todd, I think, and maybe even all of them ever. Like, I don't know if they were friends in high school or some shit, but like, you know, they've known each other forever. They've done so much work together. It's hard for me to pick one, because to me, he's done so much fucking good work. I owned so many of his soundtracks, and then he had a compilation called Music for a Darkened Theater, and he was talking in the liner notes about how he got to take out his guitar for the first time since Oingo Boingo, and he had a song with blast beats on it, and I'm like, dude, this dude did fucking Batman, and he fucking likes blast beats. Fucking good for him. I knew I had something in common with him, and like one reason I loved this dude so much is he, you know, at some fucking article I read in, I don't know if it was Ultimate Guitar, probably not, some fucking thing I read somewhere, the dude said, I got to where I am, like, you know, I make music 8 hours a day, you know, if I don't do that, all this music does not get made, and I do it whether I'm sick, I do it whether I don't feel like it, and I fucking loved him for that, because everyone in my circle at the time were like, just like hung out, smoked weed, and was angry that record executives weren't coming to their bedroom to find their talent. It's like, you know, and then I'm trying to like practice with them, you know, because we have a fucking gig in a month, and they don't want to practice because they don't fucking feel inspired, and that's their whole fucking reason for why they're not gonna like work. And then we fucking play a show and we're not fucking prepared. So it's like, when I look to Danny Elfman, who to me was making top tier music, and he practices 8 hours a day whether he feels like it, that to me is the fucking epitome of you do the work so that when you get your break, you're prepared for it. Like, if like there's no other way without it. You don't get to fucking be successful without putting the work in also. I mean, like, anyone is, you know, needs to know the right people and all of that. Like, this dude just happened to meet Tim Burton, who went on to be a fucking phenomenal success. Yeah, you have to know people, but unless you put the work in also, you don't fucking get the opportunity. So like, I've always admired Danny Elfman, and every once in a while I put on Oingo Boingo. Dead Man's Party is a fucking big hit, and you know, that's a song that has odd time signatures, and the hooks are weird, but they do have hooks, and it's a song I can fucking dance to, Yeah, and if I haven't said this already, this dude was the voice of Jack Skellington in. So not only did he make all of I've heard the demos of every song he made in fucking The Nightmare Before Christmas. So I've heard him sing all of the parts, and then can you imagine like writing and singing all that, and then like you know trying to like you know hiring all the musicians to do those parts and. I don't know. It kind of blows my mind to think about. But anyways, when I listen to Oingo Boingo, I can see how he went on to be a classical dude, because some of these songs are like weird as far as, you know, if you think of a normal song structure where it's like verse, chorus, verse, chorus, a lot of these songs don't have it. It's kind of like it's more like classical format where there might be a motif somewhere that ties it all together. But other than that, the riffs don't always like follow from one for the other, which sometimes it's like, okay, that's pretty progressive. And sometimes it's like, okay, I hate this riff, but the next riff I love. So I don't know how I feel about this song. Like I don't know whether to like love or hate this song, skip it or not. Like Flesh and Blood has a corny ass melody or two. Like the contrast between like songs you can switch genres between songs. You get one with like some punk energy, and then Out of Control has a section so slow that it makes me angry, and then it becomes like some other genre. So I don't know. And the instrumentation is fun. You get like marimbas, you got horn sections, you got like a ska energy. But yeah, you can tell this dude's going to go on to make like Nightmare Before Christmas. If you peel away the skin, is there anybody there?
Bruh.
So I'm giving this fourth place for the week. I don't hate it, but I don't know that I would listen to it again. It doesn't really connect with me, but I do see how he went on to become my favorite classical dude after this. That's it.
Yeah, I love that this band exists, right? You use the word fun. I have that in like a bunch of my notes for songs. I think a bunch of this album is fun. A lot of this record sounds like a product of its time. It sounds like the 1980s, like a time capsule. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I personally love this band, at least the greatest hits. I have not gone through all their stuff. However, there are songs like even Dead Man's Party. I don't know where I originally heard that song, maybe a year or two ago. I will blast that song in my car randomly when I'm driving somewhere or it's late at night. I love that song. I think it's a fucking banger. I don't love the version that's on. Well, I shouldn't say I don't love it. I prefer the studio version of Dead Man's Party than the one that's on the greatest hits, because it is recorded. It's one of the ones that's recorded for the Boingo Alive. But regardless, whatever way you hear that song, Dead Man's Party, it's a banger. And it's unique. It's fun. I loved it from the first time that I heard it. It's my favorite Oingo Boingo song. And Dead Man's Party came out in like 1985. That record, it's also the name of the album. It also has Weird Science on there. So before Danny Elfman left Oingo Boingo or went to go do some of the soundtracks, you mentioned Nightmare Before Christmas and Batman, and I saw Nightmare Before Christmas last Halloween, so whatever, 3 months ago, and it was fucking awesome. The music is great. He is the singing voice of Jack Skellington, and he sound like the songs are really catchy. I feel like that movie was like a slow burn when it came out. I don't remember people loving that movie when it came out. My cousins were like all about it, but they're like the only ones who I knew who really liked it. But over time, it was like, you know, it's like a snowball going down a hill. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and people like love that movie. Yeah, so at one point this band had 8 members in it, and when they cut out the horn section, I don't quite understand like why you do that, because there's a song on here called Stay. It's one of my favorites on the greatest hits, and like the horns add so much and they're so on point. So one of the things is when you listen to the Boingo Alive, that is like, it not only sounds really good, it's, you can hear everyone's playing and they're nailing it. That shit is, it's live. It's like, I don't want to call it like not live, but it's definitely kind of like live in a vacuum, where if you get 9 chances to play it or whatever, 18, you do it twice a day or whatever, you'll get a better take at some point than one of the other takes. as opposed to like 1980s hardcore bands or whatever, who went into a studio, did one take of 4 songs each and like left, and that was their album. But you can hear it sounds good. Everyone is on point. There's not like, people aren't fucking up. And it's great. So yeah, Danny Elfman's a natural. He went from this band to composing soundtracks. Oh, one of the things I was going to say. So Oingo Boingo did two songs for movies. They did Weird Science, which is a movie by...
Yeah. John Hughes, yeah.
John Hughes, yeah, by John Hughes. That was also on Dead Man's Party. which seems to be like the best era of this band. A music video is awesome. Again, it's so fucking 80s. The movie is great as well. And then they did a song for, what was that movie? Fast Times at Ridgemont High in like 1982. So he was kind of floating around this area of soundtracks before, but yeah, he just became a natural. He, if you look up Danny Elfman on Wikipedia, he's done so much shit. He has done so many soundtracks, and it's crazy to be composing just that much music. And he just like transitioned to it just so well. But yeah, no, I like this band a lot. I just think they're funny and they're quirky. Oh, and so yeah, when I was reading about these guys, it says that they're a new wave band that emerged from a surrealist musical theater troupe, the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. So the fact that they came from something like that, it shouldn't be surprising that you get stuff like Dead Man's Party or even like Weird Science, stuff like that. It's not your typical stuff. There's a song on here called Sweat, and when I think about like what genre is this, I'm thinking like this is 80s punk western new wave ska fever dream. Ugh. Like that's what I think when I hear that song. It's yeah. Like this genre really needs to make a comeback. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on here. There's good instrumentation. I didn't realize that this band was eight people large. Like I thought it was probably five people. But yeah, the other stuff really enhances it. That's why when they were like streamlining stuff, I don't know if the horn section was like, yo, we don't want to be in the band anymore or what. But when I hear this stuff, it's like, why? I don't understand why you would like kick the people out, because it's not like they're sitting in the back jerking their dicks. They're playing, they're adding stuff. They sound good. Jomo, what do you think of Oingo Boingo?
You know, I never heard of Oingo Boingo until this week. And now that I have, I wish I never heard of them at all. Danny Elfman can go fuck himself.
No.
Death Clock puts out better music than this fucking Star Wars Cantina cover band. There's too much 80s obscurity with it. I mean, it reeks of 80s-ness. Like, and there's, who, you know, everyone remembers 80s, right? Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, Pretty in Pink, all the John Hughes movies that make me want to fucking jump off a tall building. And it's just, it's too much Danny Elfman. If Danny Elfman was just too much of a person, like he's there's too much of him. There's too much in his existence, and I just don't want him around. Okay. I'd prefer if he was in a camp, but I can't get that anymore. It's just not for me, man. Like I listened to the fucking whole goddamn album, and I'm like, this is Rob torturing me. Like he's mad about Taylor Swift still. And
love, you know, Taylor Swift.
I bet you did. I bet you fucking did. And I just couldn't take it anymore, bro. It's like there's two annoying people in this world. You have Seth MacFarlane, and then you have Danny Elfman.
Oh,
and both of them, I wish I could recreate the Saw scene that I created a few episodes ago, where I take a gun and I put their heads together. I'm like, you know, I shoot the trigger and say, hey, you want to gamble on this one? Better yet, let's put them in a real scenario. We're in a North Vietnamese prison camp, right? Mm-hmm. And for this, I converted to North Vietnamese, and we're reenacting the scene from Deer Hunter, and they don't get to live, neither of them. But I'm like, I'm yelling "Uso mao, uso mao putao," and I'm like, I'm putting a round in. I roll the cylinder. I rack their gun back, and I'm like, I spin it on the table, and then it points at Danny Elfman. And he's wearing a bandana and all this shit. There's like a little drop of blood coming from the top of his head. And he pulls the trigger. He's like, oh, Mao! And then nothing happens. And then we spin the gun again. And then it lands on Seth MacFarlane. He looks at it. He's pulling the trigger. And he's like, bah! Nothing happens. Clicks. Then we grab Lars Ulrich from the back. And then we sit him down at the table. The gun lands on him. And then he shoots himself in the fucking head. So that's my review of Oingo Boingo. I'd rather tell you a story about how I would torture three people, Deer Hunter style, than fuck. I just, like, I get, like, they're talented, but it's like, it's too out there. It's too much for me. It's just, it's weird. It's really weird, and it made my dick invert. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, it's really 80s. There's a bunch of, like the song Gratitude, when I hear that, I'm just picturing a Devo video. You know how 80s they are? Like, I don't even know shit about Devo, but I know the, like, when they wear, like, whack shit hats.
I hate that you brought up Devo. Like, I hate that you brought up Devo.
It's too white, bro. It's too white. But, like, that's what I'm picturing, like, dorky white people music. And I'm fine with it. I don't know. There's not a ton of it. Like, I don't know. At least there's not a ton that has been, like, in the mainstream. There's a song called Skin. I think that's, like, a legit good song. So, Oingo Boingo, the stuff that Jomo doesn't like is that eccentric and wacky stuff. But like Skin is just like a good rock song. There's like good vocals on it, or good harmony, vocal harmonies on it and stuff. But yeah, like Just Another Day. I don't know. There's a bunch of 80s shit. I love it. When stuff like this exists and actually gets somewhere, I don't know. It's fun. Whatever. It doesn't last that long. These guys, it says 17 years, but like that's from beginning to end. So I don't know how much was actually happening in between. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's a good band. They're unique. They wrote some crazy shit. Then Danny Elfman had a whole spin-off career doing soundtracks and stuff after that. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about Oingo Boingo before we read some YouTube comments?
I like Not My Slave. I like No One Lives Forever. And I like Death Clock.
Yes, Death Clock is good.
Yeah, Not My Slave is legit. I love the drums in that song. Again, it just feels like 80s. I don't know. I like the 80s. Even though, when I say it feels dated, like the 80s, I'm fine with it. It's not like a bad thing. All right, let's read some YouTube comments. First, Oingo Boingo is so sadly underappreciated. The entire Dead Man's Party record is great. Next one says, I call this genre Halloween rock. Next one says, one of the bands that contributed to making the 80s the great decade of music that it was. Next one says, I remember listening to Weird Science while crying in a Chipotle parking lot.
Lastly,
makes me proud of the 80s. Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, what was I going to say about that? Oh, there's rapping on this. No One Lives Forever. Every white person wants a piece of the rap game. I'm going to say Danny Elfman rapping in this song is actually not embarrassing. So good for you.
Don't fucking mention it. I swear to God.
I'm not going to mention it. All right. You ready to spin the wheel? I wasn't going to mention it, Jomo.
You spin me right round, baby, right round. You suck.
All right, it's spinning. It's spinning.
You're gay.
I love Eminem.
All right, landed on Jomo's second favorite of the day, Toto.
You know what? This is the only time where you assume correct. So, all right.
And, dude, when you said you hated two, I knew what the two were. All right. Toto, their greatest hit is called 40 Trips Around the Sun. The greatest hits album, not the hit with that name. It's a 17-track record released in 2018, coming in just over 79 minutes long. It's the band's first greatest hit album, reaching number 82 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart, and contains hits from 1978's Toto, 1979's Hydra, 1982's Toto 4, 1984's Isolation, 1986's Fahrenheit, 1988's The Seventh One, 1992's Kingdom of Desire, as well as three newly recorded songs, Alone, Spanish Sea, and Struck by Lightning. Led by the top five single Hold the Line, their 1978 debut album brought Toto mainstream attention, but it was their fourth album, 1982's Toto 4, which brought them global attention. Africa topped the Billboard Hot 100, while Rosanna reached number two, helping Toto become one of the best-selling music groups of their era. While the band was not, while the band has not repeated the U.S. radio success of their heyday in the late 70s and early 1980s, they have continued to produce albums and tour more or less continuously to the current day, and have had many more top 10 albums and singles in places like Japan and Scandinavia. I'm huge in Japan. Steve Lukather remains the only original member who still records and tours with the band since the 2010s. Toto has relied on contracted touring musicians to continue to perform. As of 2023, Toto has released 14 studio albums, 8 live albums, 1 movie soundtrack for 1984's Dune, and a number of compilation albums. 40 Trips Around the Sun was released to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the band's 1978 self-titled debut album. Toto has released 14 studio albums and sold over 40 million records worldwide. In addition to the albums I mentioned before that are on this greatest hits, they had Turn Back in 1981, Tambu in 1995, Minefields in 1999, Through the Looking Glass in 2002, Falling in Between in 2006, Toto 14 in 2015, and Old is New in 2018. Jomo, how much do you hate Toto?
Bro, first of all, don't you ever disparage Toto. I would not say anything bad about Toto. Okay, I'm going to say a lot of bad things about Toto. Oh, okay. This greatest hits album should this album should only be like two songs, okay? And that's consisting of Rosanna and Africa, okay? Why Rosanna? That is a ballad to get some fucking bitch from the bar who's fucking, she's a solid four at best, but if you drink enough, she'll be a seven. I promise you, she will be a seven. You just have to believe, you know, it's like Hogwarts, bro. Just believe that platform 9 3/4 exists. And if you believe these bitches are attractive, then just, it's a flick of the switch, my friend. That's all you got to believe. But I'll tell you this, this album was only good for two songs. And when I listened to Africa, I was like, this is the most boring shit I've ever heard of. This makes no sense. I think it's racist. I'm just going to call them out. I don't know why they would bring this song up. I used to play this song at 4:45 in the morning as I would wake up from when I was working in Connecticut, man. And I'd wake up my then girlfriend, now wife, and she'd just look at me like, why are you playing Toto's fucking Africa, you motherfucker? And I'd play it. And just out of the sheer annoying tension that it would build, it was everything that I need to fuck with her. It was everything that I would just play ad nauseum until she wanted to fucking jump from a tall building. And guess what? She never did. And we're married. It was a lot of mental pain, but she had to earn it. Okay. She had to fucking earn it. 4 for 10 for this week. I didn't even want to rate Oingo Boingo. But they make my penis soft. Toto for me though. Africa, great song to torture, fucking, you know, Iraqi prisoners with. Rosanna, good enough to pick up sluts. That's all I got to say.
Well, you're wrong about it only being two.
There's, I'm not wrong about shit. You shut your fucking whore mouth.
Hold the Line. Hold the Line is a legit banger. And that's, yes. I didn't even know it was Toto. So like,
love isn't always on time.
Yeah. So going into this, I thought Africa was the only song I know. Now, I honestly think I fucking hate Africa, like the song. And I'm not trying to be negative, but I honestly can't stand it. And whenever a band covers it and they think they're cool, like fucking Weezer or Ninja Sex Party, I'm like, you're not cool. The song sucked to fucking begin with, and it sucks now. Your version is just as shitty as the one that was originally recorded. Okay, so those are the two songs that I had known by this band. Didn't realize they were the same band, but I do know both of them. So I feel like Toto is one of the bands that had a hit that was like a bit, I want to say, is a bit outside of their norm. But like, you have songs like Spanish Sea. So when I hear shit like that, I'm like, okay, this was probably written around the time of Africa, because I like the bass in the song is good, but it's in the whole vein of Africa. It feels like that to me. So like, I hate Africa. I hate Spanish Sea. They both can fuck off. But you, when you have a hit like Africa, I feel like, okay, because when I think of that, that's what I think this band is, like a pussy band who is boring. It's kind of like when Deep Purple had Smoke on the Water. So everyone's like, oh, they're a rock band. Like, no, they're a metal band. But like, the hit that they had was a fucking rock song. That's what happened to Toto, at least for me. I should have known this was more of a rock band, though, because Steve Lukather, who is the guitar player, played lead guitar on Beat It. Eddie Van Halen played the guitar solo, but Steve played the other guitar parts. Not apparently somebody else played the rhythm guitar part, so there's three guitar players on that album or on that song. So Steve played some of the lead stuff that was not the guitar solo. So yeah, this I think this greatest hits is good, but I didn't expect it to be so different from Africa. That's what I thought this was going to be, a bunch of like shit like that, and it really isn't. There's songs like Jake to the Bone. Rob brought it up. Like, this is what I'm saying about the band. You have the shit like Africa and Spanish Sea that can be put into a cannon and shot into the sun, right? And then you got a song like Jake to the Bone that just comes out and it drops like a dick right on you. So it's like hard to read these dudes. Like, what are these guys doing? What do they want to write? What do they want to make? There could be multiple songwriters in this band. I don't know. I didn't do a whole lot of research into them. Anyway, Jake to the Bone, awesome fucking song, and gets like really heavy at the end. Hold the Line, banger song. One of, like, again, I didn't even know it was Toto. But like, I would say that's one of my favorite classic rock songs. It is awesome. Stranger in Town. I know Jomo hates that song. I don't care. I'm awarding it eternal banger status. That song and Dead Man's Party are my favorite two songs of the entire week. I could listen to both on loop for hours. There's another song, Struck by Lightning, right? And that's like what makes me love these guys. When I hear that, it's like, okay, this is what I want, not the other garbage. Go back, listen to Struck by Lightning, right? And listen to the guitar riff in the verse. It sounds like a toned down and like slowed down version of the main riff from Break Stuff. The guitar solo is awesome. This guy is a really great guitar player. The bass player brings it in this band as well. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I would never have listened to Toto ever because Africa has tainted my image of them. But yeah, they're good. They're great musicians. Some of these guys were studio musicians before this band was even formed. And when you hear stuff like Jake to the Bone or whatever, it's like, it's not that surprising that they were doing this daily or however often they were getting work in the studio. Yeah, they're good musicians. There are some, I'm actually very surprised, like, how many people love this band. If you go, if you play some Toto songs and read the comments on YouTube, like, good Lord, people are fucking in love with these guys. Oh, and the thing that I think is so funny about this greatest hits is the thing Jomo was bringing up is this band essentially has like one big fucking hit, right? Africa is the last song on this album. The one big fucking hit this band has is the last song on the record. So that to me is like, these guys hate the song. They want it the fuck away from them. They're like, put it at the end and put all the shit before so that people listen to it to get to Africa, I guess. I don't know. I just thought it was funny that it's the dead last song on their greatest hits. Rob, what do you think of Toto?
Okay, so I want to continue with what you just said, but I'm going to interpret it differently. Okay, so so we agree that Africa is like their like this isn't exactly a one-hit wonder band, but like yeah, Africa has 1.6 billion plays on Spotify. That's like November Rain numbers. And okay, you've mentioned two covers you've heard of it. I've heard at least four. Okay, the third. 2005, Andy McKee was playing this. Like, think of like the original fucking YouTube. Like, Andy McKee was a dude playing one guitar, so no overdubs, but he would like tap and so he'd use his right hand to tap strum and like play like the drums on the fucking guitar, and then like his left, you know, and then his right hand is also so his left hand is also so yes, he's doing this two hand. Drum tapping fucking thing, and like you know, maybe that went on to be a fucking fad or whatever, but as far as I know, Andy McKee was the first person to get like YouTube famous doing that fucking guitar style. I had never heard anything like it, and I don't think my friends had in 2005, but yeah, he did a bunch of original stuff that I really liked, and he did a cover of Africa and some other shit, and like I remember my brother making fun of me because he heard me listen to this song, a cover of it even, because to him, like, this fucking 80s band is so fucking laughable. But I don't know, I saw something in it, and then I've also, I see Africa in memes also. Like, one of my favorites is, you know, when you turn on the GameCube and, like, there's that, that like, cube thing that, like, rolls around and it forms a GameCube symbol and then whatever. But, yeah. Like, so that meme, that scene, except it forms the entire country, continent of Africa, and then a fucking Ape at Africa plays, that was pretty fucking hilarious. So I don't know if... I don't know what society thinks of this song exactly. Like, I'm going to talk about Journey later, but like the Africa, I don't know if people mock it or love it. I think it's a combination of both. I don't think it's like, I think, what's the Rick Astley song, the Rick Roll fucking song. That song, I think, I don't know how people think of that song either. I think people kind of like make fun of it, like they're laughing at it, but and kind of hate it. But I don't think Africa is quite there. But there's a little bit of that. But I think people like it. But anyways, to me, I think this band in particular, I think it's kind of hard for me to distinguish whether I love this band or not, because the 80s fucking sound of it, the 80s like instrumentation and recording, it's kind of hard for me to think like, whether I love this band or whether I think it has genius songwriting or not. Hold the line. Okay, yeah, 70s stuff I fucking get. Like that. That's like the TikTok drummer, cowboy drummer, fucking loves Hold the Line. You know, and he's played an aggressive version of that song, and I fucking get that song. That song, that's like, you know, classic rock. Like it's on the borderline of metal, you know, or at least I can hear it that way. So I have no trouble digesting that. Africa, I've heard like all the like the vocal harmonies in it, so there's something genius there, but yeah, also the cheesiness to it. So what do I want to say about this band entirely? This band surprises me a lot. Like the song Jake to the Bone we're talking about, it's instrumental. Okay, so what other band is putting out like instrumental songs on their greatest hits? Instrumentals generally are not liked by anyone other than ultra fucking nerds, but like that song has so many super surprising key changes in it, and technicality and dynamics. So it's like, to me, this band could have been a prog band, but they reined it in. I think a lot of people in the prog realm don't have an ear for hooks and just like cram a bunch of shit in together. These guys do have hooks. I mean, they're also kind of fucking corny half the time. Like, okay, Stop Loving You. That's a song where like the verse is so slow, and my response is kind of like, how come people like this cousin of smooth jazz bullshit? And then there's like a single weird, like super loud bass notes plucked, and I'm like, why was this ever a fucking fad? And then the chorus comes in, and it's like full sounding. It's an engaging chorus. It's like now I understand why this is a successful band. Like they understand hooks, and you know, I fucking feel something listening to them. But another thing with this band, like, I get a major feel from like a major key feel from a lot of these. So it's as if at the time you had to write major key songs in order to get a certain amount of money, and then they would like pivot. They would like a lot of their they do have a lot of crazy guitar solos, and I think they pivot to minor, so they have this dark ass solo, and then they pivot back to major to like sing. And like, to me, this works, and I'm kind of, to me, I'm fucking impressed with that. I think that a lot of bands at the time were, well, okay, I don't know, but when I think of how much time I've spent in my life like trying to imagine ways that you can appeal to the masses but still have the like dark evil like metal shit that I need in order to feel human, I don't know. I think that they had something interesting here. I don't know if it works for me or not. I'm gonna have to listen to it more, but I'm giving it third place for the week. I don't know whether this band is corny as hell or awesome. Georgie Porgy, like, fuck that song. Like, it's partly awesome, but there's like a nursery rhyme thing there. Fuck that song. Rosanna, I didn't even know that was them. Again, like, instrumentation was interesting. Not instruments that I would have chosen for myself, but I'm going to give that song a thumbs up. So I'm giving Stranger in Town thumbs up, Jake to the Bone thumbs up, Hold the Line, Rosanna thumbs up. I don't know. I think I need to listen to this more. I'm giving it third place. That's it.
Yeah, okay. Georgie Porgy, my notes. Like, how does someone actually love this song? There's a bunch of comments on YouTube where people are like, oh my God, I love Georgie Porgy. And it's like, fucking hell. Here's another thing, though. In my notes here, I'll supply the love. In one of the guitar solos towards the end, there's this evil, these evil notes played in it. And I fucking love it. I'm giving that song banger status as well. It's not my favorite. But like, when I hear that, you're right. It's like, are these guys trolling me right now? Or are they like a fucking banger metal band? Underneath. Maybe all their huge metal hits were just never released. 99, musically, I think that song is great. The bass is on its own level. The bass player in this band, you know, he's there. He's in the mix. He sounds great. I would always love it turned up a hair, but it's there. Another song, I'll be Over You. So I'm going to make a reference to this later, but I'm pretty sure that it's a song that sparked a million conceptions. And then, ballads. I don't know if the ballad is coming back, but some of the biggest songs of the bands that we're taking a look at had some pretty huge ballads. I don't know if they're all even power ballads. They're just ballads. Stop Loving You. So you brought that song up. It actually didn't do very well when it was released, which is surprising. I would have figured that some people would have ate it up and it would have been like top five hit for the band. I like this band. I like these guys. It was nice seeing that they have more than Africa. And yes, some of the guitar solos in here are really good. Pamela has a guitar solo in it. It's too short, but he rips in that song. It's like when I listen to that song, half of it is what I like about Toto. Half of it is like what I don't like about Toto. There's a guitar solo. Let it rip for way longer. I don't know. But yeah, these guys are talented. It's just, I don't know. It might be for me. It might not be for me. I might jump into some of their earlier stuff and I might just move on with my life. I don't fucking know. Let's read some YouTube comments. First one says, best band of the mid 80s. Next one says, Toto has been my favorite since 1977. I love all of their hits. Next one, have been listening to Toto since the 80s. In fact, I'm listening to Africa right now. Next one says, my favorite band since ever. And lastly, with my loving wife listening to Toto like the earth belongs to us. I don't know if there's a translation issue there or what, but yeah, I don't know. These guys do have a big fan base, so good for them. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about Toto?
No.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Let me cough for 10 minutes with my mic muted and then we'll spin the wheel.
Okay. Why are you gay?
I got a boner.
18 naked cowboys in the showers at Ram Ranch.
You done spinning?
Okay, it's spinning, it's spinning, it's spinning, it's spinning. All right, it's, hang on. It's like right on the fucking line between the two.
Just choose.
All right, it's on Journey. It's on Journey.
Seriously, I would just, no, I have to say something. Go to Sticks,
what,
please.
You want
to
do Sticks first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sticks.
All right.
Fucking dick.
It landed on Sticks. Okay. All right. Sticks Greatest Hits is a 16-track record released in 1995, coming in just over 75 minutes long. It's the band's third Greatest Hits album, reaching number 138 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains hits from 1973's Sticks 2, 1975's Equinox, 1976's Crystal Ball, 1977's The Grand Illusion, 1978's Pieces of Eight, 1979's Cornerstone, 1981's Paradise Theater, 1983's Kilroy Was Here, and 1990's Edge of the Century. Sticks Greatest Hits is the third compilation released for the band. 1977's Best of Sticks contains songs from their Wooden Nickel catalog, so these guys at some point had multiple record labels. In 1987's Classics Volume 15 contained songs from their A&M catalog. 1995's Greatest Hits was made to replace the previous ones. Since they had been unable to secure the rights to Lady, the band decided to re-record it. The Lady session led to Sticks reuniting. With the exception of Lady 95, which is what the re-recorded version is called, Sticks Greatest Hits features the original album versions of all their other songs. Come Say the Way is presented in its full 6 minute and 5 second version, and Miss America is in its original studio version. Sticks' commercial breakthrough in North America came with 1977's The Grand Illusion and became the first of four straight multi-platinum albums in the U.S. for Sticks. While the Greatest Hits album arguably captured most of their biggest radio singles, there were some noticeable omissions, some of which would appear on the following, on the follow-up, Sticks Greatest Hits Part 2. Songs that were not included on Volume 1 include Love at First Sight, Why Me, Why I Cough for 10 Hours, Mademoiselle, Music Time, Sing for the Day, Rockin' the Paradise, Light Up, Love is the Ritual, and Snowblind. Most of these found their way into Volume 2, but others weren't included on either. Sticks Greatest Hits has been certified 2x platinum. The other records this band had was Sticks, the self-titled in 1972, The Serpent is Rising in 1973, Man of Miracles in 1974, Brave New World in 1999, Cyclorama in 2003, Big Bang Theory in 2005, The Mission in 2017, and Crash of the Crown in 2021. So, Sticks, these guys are legit, like, awesome musicians. They really are. Their songs feel more of, like, a stage production, and that's where I'm going to guess they come, like, they shine. If people told me that Sticks was the best live show they've ever seen, I wouldn't be surprised. There is no Broadway musical based on this band yet, which seems like a missed opportunity. Green Day has one.
Get the fuck out of here.
Why? Green Day has one. They have one for American Idiot.
Because they're sellouts.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. I mean, money's money. But I'll say there are some like true bangers by these guys. I still think, well, we're going to get to it in a minute, but the Journey Greatest Hits is like the most stacked greatest hits that we're going to talk about today, and one of the probably the most stacked ever. And it's cool that they re-recorded Lady. So when we talked about Taylor Swift, she did that. Oingo Boingo also did that. Now, music rights have changed, or not necessarily the rights, but like the way music ownership works has changed quite a bit since like the 50s and 60s. This is obviously 70s to 80s and then now. So Lady 95 was re-recorded for this. The song is okay. Like, I don't love it, but it is cool that like it's what got them back together as a band, because they were broken up. I actually don't remember how many years before that got them back together. And I don't think that they've stopped playing and recording since then. So that was the catalyst that got Styx back together. Sometimes you just need something to like break the ice, cause you've been tired of like seeing people for fucking 10 years or whatever. And that's what did it. This band has like three bangers or four bangers right in a row, but it's like towards the middle. Renegade, I'm giving that song eternal banger status. Always love that song. And it might be my favorite Styx song. Come Sail Away. So there's an Eric Cartman version of that. I had posted it in the chat earlier. I've listened to that version more than the regular version. It could be like their most ambitious song. It's classic. I'm also giving it banger status. But if I have a choice between the Styx version and the Cartman one, I'm going to listen to the Cartman one. Blue Collar Man. Okay, so like I knew when I hear that song, it's like this song has to either be on Guitar Hero or Rock Band. It is on Rock Band. I'm giving that song eternal banger status as well. And then the song after that, The Grand Illusion. So when I hear this song, I think it's incredible, first of all. And the different parts and the composition and everything, I feel like The Grand Illusion specifically is like a work of art of music. I don't want to say up there, but I want to say like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like that, where it's this kind of big, huge idea that's kind of becomes like larger than life. Really catchy. It still sounds amazing for being like recorded in 1977. And I don't know, when I hear Grand Illusion, I just kind of, not even just that, but a couple of their songs, I just constantly think of Queen, because I don't know. I feel like these guys musically are like up there as well. They're like really fucking good. But yeah, these are more of like a stage thing. When I listen to this band, I can just kind of picture them playing. That's why I was saying, yeah, I don't know why there's not a musical. Money's money. Fucking sell out. Who gives a shit? Rob, what do you think about Styx?
Yeah, when I had my, like when I was 18, like Queen is my favorite band. Jack introduced them to me. We watched Live Aid together. And that, like, so this was like a, like, I fucking loved Queen for, like, listened to them all the fucking time in one section of my life. And I remember telling that to people, and somebody said, listen to Styx. They're almost as good as Queen. And, like, so, like, everything you just said about, like, them sounding like Queen, yeah, other people believe that. And, like, so that is like a great fucking compliment, because Queen is one of the best fucking things to have ever existed, like, for all time. But it's also like a death sentence, because there's only one Freddie Mercury. There's no replacing him. And so, like, if you're like almost as good as Queen, you're kind of fucked. Like, you can't be as good as them. And so if you're inviting the comparison, you're kind of doomed, you know? So I listened to this a lot this week, and I felt, on the one hand, like, really fucking impressed with them, and also kind of let down. Okay, so Best of Times, like, I hear the Queen in that song also, because, like, you know, you got your lead singer who isn't as good as Freddie, but nobody is, and then there's all these like backup, like, chorus of singers thing, and it's just like it's not hidden behind a million layers of other shit. It's just classic rock with like fucking good ass vocals and layers of it. Fucking good fucking song. And like some of my favorite sections in Mr. Roboto, yeah, Mr. Roboto, it would be something else. I fucking love that song. There's a lot of reasons why I like it. I like the keyboard composition. I like the dual vocals, the multiple vocals interacting with each other. That's my number one song for the week. Listened to it a fucking million times, but also again, the like 80s-ness of it hurts me. It's like I feel like today, if you redid this song with more bass, it would speak straight to my heart. And when I'm listening to this song, it's like this probably inspired a million fucking things that I love. But like I'm missing something. My heart yearns for something, and I think it's bass. But yeah, and then like there's a couple of like 10 out of 10 phenomenal guitar riffs on this album. I don't remember what songs they are, sorry, but like, and I remember when I say riff, I'm not talking about a chord progression. Like I feel like 95-99% of pop music, it's just like nondescript chords used as a backdrop to like you like let the vocalist do their fucking thing. What I love about metal specifically is you'll have a riff, a linear line or whatever that is your melodic hook. And there's a couple of Styx songs that fucking have it. It's like the guitar has me by the balls with my consent. It's like I fucking, yeah. So this band has it at times. You know, Come Sail Away, that song. I get a little bit of Bohemian Rhapsody there, but like it's not as impressive as Bohemian Rhapsody. Nothing is. Blue Collar Man, something about that I fucking love. Yeah, these guys have a progressive something about them, and I've seen the drummer on Drumeo, like you know, so people look up to this drummer. I don't know, this band. This band has something. I listened to them a lot. I felt like it was missing something. I don't fucking know what. But I don't know. I had a good time listening to them. I'm glad I finally checked them out. I'm giving them second place this week. That's it.
Nice. Yeah, Come Sail Away has a chord, like one chord played three quarters of the way through and the song kind of pivots. And it's like this larger than life chord that reminds me of... A Queen, but like one specific song, but like when you hear it, it's very that. I don't know, it's great. Mr. Roboto, so that was on the last studio album from Styx for 7 years due to creative differences. I can see people not seeing eye to eye when you play Mr. Roboto, especially with like some of the stuff that had come out before from this band. I mentioned it before, whatever, to a degree, the 80s is a weird time for music. I love Mr. Roboto. I think like it makes me love the weird 80s even more. Devo, I don't care. They're white as shit. Don't care. I think they're great. I just wonder how much cocaine it took to like to make that song.
Yeah.
Another song in here, Crystal Ball. So there's a Saturday Night Live sketch about Blue Oyster Cult and like needing more cowbell, even though there's like shit tons of cowbell in Don't Fear the Reaper. There needs to be a meme or another one, an updated one about this band and flute. There's flute like in all kinds of songs on this album. Crystal Ball has one, and it's like there are bands that are known for flute. Everyone knows the band I'm talking about. No, yeah, well, yeah, definitely. But no, what's the rock band? The one that beat Metallica? I don't know. Anyway, there's bands with flute in it. But yeah, when I hear it here, it just makes me laugh. But yeah, that's the thing. Like these are like compositions. They are not like, they're not just like A, B, whatever, C, B to end. And I'm not saying they're like as crazy as like Meatloaf, like a Bat Out of Hell type shit. But at least like composition-wise, I mean. But yeah, I don't know. There's tons of cool stuff to find here. Although I don't know where I'm ranking pretty much any of these with the exception of one being like the big fucking banger of all of them. But these guys are a cool band. When I was reading a bunch of people being in love with these guys as well, not surprising. There's a band that won't ever die. And I'm surprised that like this greatest hits, I'm going to say it again, like it went double platinum, which seems impressive. But when we talk about the next album, I don't know. It might be the complete outlier. Drummer, what do you think of Styx?
It's fucking dog shit. It's fucking, I hate it. And when you guys were comparing to like Queen, I was like, get the fuck, you were saying all this shit. I didn't
hear it. Nice.
Oh, I was like, oh God, you guys, you're ruining fucking Queen. The damn bass.
You hated 3 out of 4.
So yeah, I hated a lot. Lady 95. That was a song in one of the in this fucking album. The damn band covered this during the movie Old School, and they performed it better than fucking Styx.
Nice.
I'm just gonna cut straight to the point. I don't like this band. The synths and keyboards overshadow the mediocre riffs and solos. This album stinks. This shit makes my balls fucking itch, bro. It's 1 for 10 for the week. This isn't even mid. This is like that the fucking fat linebacker girl who keeps blocking her hot friend from talking to you, man. Like, yeah. I'm just going to give her a roofie culotta, bro. Relax.
Mm. I hate you. All right. Anyway, Lady, I'm going to say song is okay. Best of Times. I could see people loving that. I think the chorus is the big thing that stands out in that song. It's catchy. It's not my favorite, but again, I can see people loving it. Too Much Time on My Hands. Fucking 80s as hell. One of my favorites. Show Me the Way. Every time I see that name, I think of Peter Frampton. I think that's who it is. Anyway, it's not that song, but the song is still epic. So yeah, I don't know. It's a good compilation. It's good greatest hits. Yeah, these guys did well. And there's some really impressive stuff by this band. Let's read some YouTube comments first. Most underrated band ever, 1970s and 1980s sticks, was, is, and will always be legendary. Next one says, I've seen Styx at least half a dozen times. I'm psyched to see him again in Vegas this weekend. Always amazing. Next one, I miss the musicianship and song structure of bands from this era. Mainstream music today is unlistenable for me. Next one says, they still put on a badass live show. Yeah, I'm not surprised. And then lastly, I graduated in 1982. Our class song was The Best of Times. I'd forgotten how much I liked Styx. Is there anything that anyone wants to say about Styx?
Almost started this by saying there was two that ear raped him this week, and so he gave Oingo Boingo a 0 out of 10, and this one a 1 out of 10. He gave Toto a 4 out of 10. Okay, it's not like I disagree. I kind of wanted to give Toto above Styx, but I also kind of wanted to give Styx above Toto. I don't fucking know. Well, anyways, on to the next.
The only thing that matters is that Africa gets sent down to Guantanamo to torture people.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to work with the CIA.
along with 22 by Taylor Swift. All right.
How dare you.
We dropped the last. Fuck you. That song is like, I don't want to get into it. All right. All right. Last one is Journey. Journey Greatest Hits is a 15-track record released in 1988. This record is pretty old, coming in just over 65 minutes long. It's the band's first of two Greatest Hits albums, reaching number 10 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. It contains hits from 1978's Infinity, 1979's Evolution, 1980's Departure, 1981's Escape, 1983's Frontiers, 1986's Raised on Radio, and two soundtracks, 1983's Two of a Kind and 1985's Vision Quest. According to the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, Journey has sold 48 million albums in the U.S., making them the 25th best-selling band. Their worldwide sales have reached over 100 million records globally, making them one of the world's best-selling bands of all time. Their songs have become arena rock staples and are still played on radio stations around the world. Journey was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the class of 2017. Greatest Hits is Journey's best-selling career disc, spanning 787 weeks on the Billboard 200 albums chart, more than any other compilation album in history, except Bob Marley and the Wailers' Legend. As of December 2008, it was reported to have been the sixth highest certified greatest hits package in the United States, behind similar collections by The Eagles, Billy Joel, Elton John, and The Beatles. It continues to be one of the most popular best of packages, at times selling close to half a million copies globally per year. A 2005 USA Today opinion poll named Journey the fifth best U.S. rock band in history, and they ranked 96 on VH1's 100 Greatest Artists of All Time. A second Journey Greatest Hits compilation album was released in 2011, and Journey Greatest Hits has been certified 15 times platinum. Journey, the other albums they had was the self-titled Journey in 1975, Look Into the Future in 1976, Next in 1977, Dream After Dream in 1980, Trial by Fire in 1996, Arrival in 2001, Generations in 2005, Revelation in 2008, Eclipse in 2011, and Freedom in 2022. Rob, what do you think of Journey?
So I listened to The Essential Journey, which came out in 2001, has 32 songs, 2 hours and 8 minutes. So it's probably has all the songs that you listened to, and maybe some more. Yeah, two hours and 8 minutes. Holy shit. Okay, so this was my biggest swing in emotion for the week, because I put this on at one point and I'm like, this is fucking boring and I hate this dude's voice, fucking fourth place. But I'm glad you guys piped up and said it was the best, because I gave it another shot. Okay, so first of all, Don't Stop Believing. So this is a song. People, I I think, okay, back to the, like, Rick Astley thing. Like, is like people fucking listen to it all the time. Like, people listen to Rick Astley, and I think that song is kind of hated, but, like, he takes it with grace. But anyways, Don't Stop Believin', I believe, is loved, okay? So I think everyone agrees that on some level it's, like, cringe, but I think everyone believes it's good cringe. Like, I think, like, I've heard so many people, like, put it on lists of, like, songs to please the white folk, and, like, I've like, so many, like, drunk white girls singing it in cover bands. I've, like, just walking down Salem, you know, bars, cover bands and bars playing Don't Stop Believin'. I've always loved this song because it makes me feel so fucking happy. And I think that's kind of, I think I speak for everyone when I say that. It kind of doesn't matter if the song is cheesy, fucking corny. I think it makes people so fucking happy, it doesn't matter. At least that's my thing about it. It's like, I think that song is fucking top tier, and it doesn't fucking bother me that how 80s and corny it is. I don't fucking care. It's just fucking top tier. Okay, so when I was thinking of what, like, do I hate this band? Do I love this band? Any Way You Want It, that song, I've heard, I think, thrice covered that song. Like some fucking punk band did a version of it. That song has balls and is amazing. The tail in it, there's a tail in it that is, like, the hook of the song, and it's in basically every measure of the song. It's in the verse and the chorus. That drives me fucking crazy, and, like, so I kind of, like, I love and hate that song. It's like, I want to listen to it half of one time, because that's how many times, like, the repetition of it drives me crazy. It makes sense because it's a good fucking hook, but to me, it's like I hear it too many times. So I don't know. Thumbs up, thumbs down, both at the same time. So I don't know. This band has balls. I think this band has more. I think some of the other bands, the three other ones threw me off half the time. I don't think this band threw me off as much. I think it's more consistent than the other ones. And so it's just kind of like, when it works, it's fucking 10 out of 10. And, you got banger after banger on this song, like, on this album. Yeah, and, like, all of these bands have fucking ballads on them. Are ballads coming back? I'm never gonna fucking like a ballad whether they come back or not. Fuck ballads. Fuck Dragon Force for making ballads. Fuck every band that's ever made a ballad. No, I'm exaggerating for dramatic purposes here, but, like, I don't like ballads. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I don't know. So I'm gonna say, yeah, it's amusing. I remember that earlier this week, putting it on, thinking this band's boring and awful, and I remember doing yoga to them an hour ago, thinking the band's fucking awesome. So, I don't know, I'm gonna let you guys talk. First place for the week.
So, yeah, well, this has to be one of the most stacked greatest hits ever. So, there are songs that you've forgotten about, because you haven't heard them in, like, a long time, but 5 seconds into any of these songs, you're pretty much gonna instantly recognize them. When we did Fleetwood Mac Rumors, I was saying there's tons of the songs I didn't recognize by name, but, like, literally 5 seconds in, you're like, oh yeah, of course I know the song. That's what you're gonna get here. It's crazy how many, like, banger songs that these guys have. So it's saying something, right? So I don't follow Journey. I don't care about Journey, but when I was younger, I was always like the classic rock station was, like, always on at my house. So this is the stuff that everyone was listening to. But it's saying something when you don't follow a band, but you know almost every song on their greatest hits. They're not my favorite band. But they are the most successful of the ones that we're talking about today. I'm still trying to decide if these guys are, like, a boomer band or not. I don't know where they're falling. But the thing of it is, like, they have hits. One of my buddies, Rectanus, in another Discord, I was like, bro, how many fucking hits does Journey have? 50? Like, goddamn. Like, literally every song on this is pretty much a banger, with the exception of, like, the two that I don't know. So, yeah, on top of, like, multi-platinum and diamond-selling studio albums, their greatest hits sold 15 million copies. Like, yeah, these guys are swimming in money. Don't Stop Believing. Everyone on earth knows that song. One thing I do love about the song is it has the least expected and most unnecessary guitar solo ever in the beginning of the song. It comes out of fucking nowhere. And I'm always like, why is that there? But it gets better every time I hear it. I don't know. I love it. The singer of this band is really good. And I'm pretty sure that Don't Stop Believing is their most popular, biggest hit. Any way you want it. Okay, here's the thing. I understand that loving that song is just as white as doing the Macarena at a wedding, but I don't care. Like, I'm giving that song fucking banger status. Guitar goes crazy at the end. Yeah, give me more. Separate Ways, that's one of those songs that people might not recognize by name. I never do, even though I know that's the name of the song. Given eternal banger status. Oh, there's a keyboard line in there that is almost as 80s as the Final Countdown. Almost. Final Countdown is probably like the most 80s keyboard fucking riff ever. I wouldn't be surprised if like tons of people don't know the song by name, because like, okay, there's this song Lights. If I were to tell you there's a song named Lights, I don't know. I'm like, I've never heard that song before. Okay, why it wasn't called When the Lights Go Down in the City, I'll never know, because when I see Lights, even though if I listen to it 12 times in a row, I'm like, I have no clue. I've never heard that song before. It was classic Journey. Everyone fucking knows it. There's a ballad on here, Open Arms. These guys have quite a few famous ballads. Are they coming back? Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. But it makes me wonder. I want to know how many women these dudes banged on tour and how many STDs they got collectively as a band. So when I talk about like, is this a boomer band? Okay, I'm going to defend the fucking Eagles to the end. We will do them at one point. I don't give a shit. I love the fucking Eagles. I'm the exact opposite of the dude. I fucking love the Eagles. They have like the shittiest, it's either, I don't know if it's them or their record company, whoever makes it so like they can't actually put their recorded songs on the internet because they get pulled down immediately, go fuck off and die. But musically, I think they're fucking awesome. But like, when I think about a band like that and like this, it's like, okay, Open Arms, I know my mom loves this song. I know she does. So it's like, is this a boomer song? Is this a boomer band? I don't know. Like, if you were to bust out Journey in a bar, is that going to take away your fuckability or add to it? I'm going to say probably take away, but also it probably depends how much booze has been flowing. Jomo, what do you think of Journey?
I'm going to preface everything I'm about to say by saying I like Journey, bro. I've never not liked Journey. I love fucking Karaoke Comes Down. If we're ever in Boston again, I'm your guy. I'm singing it, even though I'm not drinking anymore. I'm the guy, all right? However, I can't listen to Don't Stop Believing. And it's for one reason. I can recollect about how shitty the Sopranos ending was. So if you watch the TV show Sopranos, it ended and they played Don't Stop Believing. And it ended abruptly. What kind of fucking writer ends on a cut to black scene immediately? Not a fade to black, no nothing, no fucking sound for fucking a gunshot or anything. No, it just cut to black. Journey is like, to me, the white staple that white people need in their life. And ask Rob Fortune. He has a PhD in whiteness with a concentration in basic bitches. Okay. So this man knows whiteness. He is a leading expert. He's wrote 3 books about fucking whiteness. Okay. But to me though, like Journey is good, but it reeks of like middle classness, Marlboro cigarettes and jean jackets, bro. It's too empowering for white people. It gives them hope. And I don't like when people have hope. Okay. Okay. That wasn't funny. All jokes aside, this is my favorite record of the week, man. Guitars are shredding. Bass is super consistent. And there's fucking legit fucking everything across the board. Like the drums are fucking powerful. Even the homosexual keyboarder, he's cool. But all, you have to admit though, all the songs are fucking baby makers, bro. You could totally, you're fucking nutting in like 10 minutes. If you don't blow a load into someone while you're blasting Faithfully, then I don't want to know you at all. I don't want to even talk to you. Don't look in my direction. Separate Ways is definitely a makeup sex song, bro. That's the one where, you know, the type where she lets you do whatever you want. So you grab the lube and then you shove 3 dildos in her asshole just to see what it's like. Just to see what it's like. Loving, yeah. Touch and squeezing.
For science,
bro. Loving, touch and squeezing, bro. That song alone can impregnate a woman just by the raw energy. That is the Christ song right there, bro. That overall, 10 for 10. This is the first album I'm going to say 10 for 10. Hit album. It just pulsates like a Viagra boner. It's so good.
Yeah, Love and Touch and Squeezing, right? It's actually like really bluesy. And I guarantee thousands, if not millions of children have been conceived to that song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, put the, here's the thing. Put that song on and you can get a decent thrust rhythm going to the beat, right? It might not be like some of the shit Jomo's doing, but you can definitely conceive a baby to that. Two songs in here, I don't know. Girl Can't Help It, never heard before. Send Her My Love, I've never heard before. As for the other ones, Ask the Lonely, another song you're probably not going to recognize by name. You'll know it the second you fucking turn it on. Faithfully, one of those songs, again, you're not going to recognize by name. You know it as soon as you turn it on. I'm going to say that's probably one. Faithfully is probably one of the most popular ballads of all time. And then Wheel in the Sky. Yeah, it's not my favorite Journey song. It's a legit hit. Everyone fucking knows it. I don't know. Like, it's not Don't Stop Believing, but it's big. I wouldn't come home from work and be like, yo, I want to put on Wheel in the Sky. But someone is thinking that, and someone is going to do that. But yeah, this is a stacked fucking greatest hits. I'm surprised how many bangers are on this record. Like, this is banger after banger after banger. This is like Fleetwood Mac Rumors level, where you know every song on it. So yeah, I don't know. It's not my favorite. Journey is never going to be my favorite band of all time, but you know them all. And again, like I was saying, I stopped listening to classic rock when I was probably like, I don't know, 16, like regularly having the radio on. And I haven't really ever put it on since then. And I know almost every single song on here. So that says a lot. Good for them. Hopefully you're rolling in money. Hopefully you're rolling up money and doing cocaine with it. Let's read a couple of YouTube comments. First, my teenage life soundtrack. Next one. This band should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, I have good news for you. They are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Even though the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame can go fuck itself anyway. No one cares. Next one. The best band in the world. Their songs will never go out of style. Next comment. I could listen to this on repeat all day long. And lastly, there will never be a band quite like Journey. Is there anything that anyone wants to say about Journey, about Toto, about fucking Styx, or about Oingo Boingo before we get out of here?
I'm reading on Spotify that Journey is on tour with Toto right now.
No shit.
Yeah, there's a couple of shows coming up. Okay, that's all.
They're probably too old to be just like doing cocaine backstage, right? They'll probably die. They'll probably have like cardiac arrest. So it's probably boring.
Right. I mean, most people are doing that in their 20s, not their 60s.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's funny is I was talking to Becca the other day and we're like, yo, when we're 80, if we live to 80, we're doing cocaine. So
anyway, nice.
That's what's going to happen.
You haven't done it yet?
I've never done cocaine. No, I know some buddies who have, but no, I haven't.
And she's never done it?
No.
I'm never going to hang out with you ever again.
Well, you will when we're 80. Like, just set the timer. Just the countdown.
Yeah,
I'll be dead before 80, but it's a good life goal. When you're 80, you just do cocaine. What's up?
God damn, I hate you.
Oh, my. I'm down. Fuck it. Like, who gives a shit? I've said, like, when I'm 80, I'll get any STD known to man. It doesn't matter. Who gives a fuck? You got to live, like, what, 5 more years with it? What are we doing next week, Jimmo?
We're gonna do Buddy Rich, Jaco Pastorius, Charlie Parker, and Miles Davis.
Nice.
Alrighty. Well, take care of you, hoes. See you later.
Take care.